More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. Many people who live in the city or suburbs have had the somewhat romantic notion of giving up the rat race and buying a place in the country, maybe getting some chickens, growing some of your own food. It's tempting, especially after you've sat in rush hour traffic for a while. But what does it take to really make that pipe dream a viable option? Former Midwesterner Christy Athens and her husband thought they'd give rural life a try. They moved from Portland, Oregon to the Columbia River Gorge a few years ago. It turned out to be a challenging but rewarding period in their lives. And while they're back in the big city now, Athens has turned the experience into a recent book called Get Your Pitchfork On. She joined us via Skype last fall. Christy Athens, welcome to Lake Effect.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Why did you and your husband do the proverbial move to the country when you did?
We had grown up in the suburbs. When we were young adults, we lived in Minneapolis proper, and then we lived in Portland. So we had done kind of the urban thing, and we were starting to get really aware of, you know, sort of the benefits of organic food, and just we loved hiking. One of the reasons we moved to Oregon in the first place was because we loved the outdoors so much, and it seemed like there was a lot of it out here. And we just started to feel like we wanted it to be more of a lifestyle and less of a weekend sort of excursion. And so we started looking at homes in the Columbia River Gorge, which is about an hour away from Portland, due east. And it's an amazing part of the country. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend a trip out here. It's a national scenic area, and it's just fantastic. And so it was close enough to Portland that we would be able to keep our jobs, but far enough away that we would be able to get some land.
Well, and this is a phenomenon or a sentiment that is not necessarily all that uncommon among people who grow up and live in cities or suburbs, this idea of trying to find someplace that they feel more connected to.
I think so, and I think it's partly a generational thing. I think it's partly an historical thing, this, you know, point in time in our history. We're really coming to a head with industrialization of everything. And you know, when things like nature and food get industrialized, it's, you know, kind of puts a whole different weight on the benefits and the detriments. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people have similar impulses as we had.
At the same time, once you get past that impulse, do you find, is there a certain degree of presumptuousness that accompanies a move like this? I mean, you essentially write that you knew enough about what goes into farming and living in rural America that you didn't really know enough.
Absolutely. And I do want to make the distinction that we weren't farming. We talk about our place as a farm, but we weren't selling our produce or anything like that. But sort of the reason I wrote the book was I realized that the book that I really needed didn't exist yet. There were a lot of books that I have and I still have. Carla Emery's book is just celebrating its 40th anniversary, and it's a fantastic book. But, you know, my generation, I say in the introduction to the book, you know, we're interested in being more connected to the land, but not interested in giving up things like the New York Times and good coffee. You know, we're, you know, there's certainly exceptions, but not quite as hardy as the 60s and 70s back to the land kids, because they were, you know, building their homes from scratch by themselves with no power tools. And I'm not going to do that. but, there, you know, so there's this continuum of involvement in going back to the land. And the book that I needed to talk about internet and talk about telecommuting and talk about sort of local economies, they're, you know, not as vibrant as urban economies. And so I had, as a freelance writer, I had a hard time getting enough work and getting paid well enough for it. And then the whole back fifth of the book is about the social part of living in the country. And that, to me, was the thing that I was least prepared for. I knew that I was going to have to do a lot of physical labor and carry 40-pound bags of chicken feed and all that stuff, but I didn't quite understand the magnitude of small-town politics and just being in a kind of a crucible when you're in a small town, because everyone knows everyone's business. And when there are disagreements and things like that, things can get ugly and it's hard to get away from it.
So did you find that the physical stuff was the stuff that you were able to adapt to most easily versus the maybe the bigger, more nebulous things like small town etiquette?
Yes, absolutely. One thing that we learned, on the physical side, we're not very large, burly people, my husband and I. And so there were things that we really needed machinery to do that we didn't have. We really needed a compact tractor that would have made our lives a lot easier, but they're, $25,000. So there was that aspect to it. But yeah, definitely the social part. I am, I consider myself a fairly normal person, but I'm not mainstream. And I don't fit into mainstream culture very well. And, in an urban area, that is less of an issue. And in a rural area, a lot of people feel threatened by anything that's different.
Well, and you're right that things as small as like finding a sports team to root for is an issue. And if for no other reason, then it gives you a starting point to have conversations.
Exactly. And I read about having kids. We did not have children. And that was also an issue that set us apart from everyone else as, unusual or what's wrong with them or, that kind of thing. And I recommend it in the book, if you don't have children, getting to know the high school sports teams anyway, just because it's such a nexus where people meet. There's church and there's sports, and those are kind of the things that bring, generally speaking, bring Americans together.
It seems there was no detail too small for you to include, and I wonder if that just speaks to the broader theme that perhaps people just don't realize how fundamentally different rural life is than life in the suburbs or the city.
Yeah, I spoke from a lot from my experience. I did talk to a lot of people, and of course I knew Hood River and the Gorge being just an hour out of Portland. There are a lot of people from Portland and Seattle living there, and so my experience was, replicated with other people as well, so I got to compare notes. But it was a unique experience, and it was a challenge in very specific ways, and so I tried to reflect that in the book.
We can't hope to even address a tiny fraction of the material that's in this book, but I'm curious to hear what the areas are in which you get the most questions from people when they find out what you've done, either the move to the country itself or find out that you've written this book. What are the areas that I think that you think are the most that people are the most curious about?
Well, it's been really interesting. The book's only been out since April, and I think it will, sort of have a ripple effect, and people will keep discovering it. People ask me a lot about the physical stuff. I think that urban people, even reading the book, don't fully appreciate that back chapter. and so you only accept information that you want, you know what I mean? And so I think that back part will come in handy for people because they are able to put their minds around, the physical stuff. And then later they'll say, wow, this is really a challenge. And then they'll be able to go back to the book.
Well, and I wonder if the sheer heft of the book or the sheer length of the book itself might be serve as a good warning to people to think something like this through seriously without just saying, hey, we really ought to move to the country.
Yeah, well, that was definitely my goal, is to just give people the book I wish I had, but give them as much information, not in, although there are a lot of details, I don't go into any one thing that deeply just because I want to keep it broad and just kind of make a checklist. Like, have you thought about wood? Have you thought about your septic system? Have you thought about where the sun rises and sets in the winter as opposed to in the spring when you're looking at the property? I tried to be very broad and just – I didn't put any, chicken coop designs in the book because, Lord knows, you can get on the internet and find 50 different designs. So I tried to keep it broad but be comprehensive in its breadth.
I'm laughing because that was exactly the example I was just about to cite, is that it seems that what you've done is you've given people an idea of the various things they need to think about, and then when they want to build their own chicken coop, they can find one of the 50 different designs that's on the internet or get a whole book about chicken coop design.
Exactly, and I would definitely recommend that. Anything that you want to specialize in, if you're interested in goats, do not rely on my little bit about goats, obviously. Get a couple of books that are focused on goats.
Do you have any regrets from those? It was 6 years you spent giving it your best shot?
Well, the main thing is that we want to do it again. So it's not a situation where we did it and was like, oh, that was horrible. We'll never even go back there. We're trying to figure out how we can do it again, but to take all of, you know, these things to heart and do a better job next time and make it more sustainable.
Well, Christy Athens, thanks so much for sharing what you love about it with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Christy Athens is the author of Get Your Pitchfork On, The Real Dirt on Country Living, part of the Process Media Self-Reliance series. She's a native Minnesotan with Wisconsin roots, but now lives in Portland, Oregon. Our interview first aired last fall, and you can find a link to much more about the book at wuwm.com/lake effect. One last break, and then a trip underground to one of Milwaukee's oldest places, but one of its newest concert venues. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.